Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
And what is an Ernest, you might ask? A man with a past rich in both history and tradition. Should we punish this man for crimes he did not commit? No, 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 no.
Get your speed things up. Okay, okay.
Such a man should be set free.
Thank you.
You better watch out, Reuben. I'll zot you.
You're a dead man, Worrell.
Very well. You ask for it. After all, I am Ernest P. Worrell.
Electro-Man.
Did I ever tell you that you have a really classic Greek profile?
Shut up. Let him go.
Wow, you talk. That's great.
Have you flipped? Come on. We gotta get rid of this guy before he blows the whole thing.
No, he's different than us.
Shut up and get out of my way.
You better go. Mr. Nash is probably robbing the bank right now.
Nash? Well, come with me.
I don't belong out there. I got a place in here.
Well, I'm gonna miss you, big buddy.
Ernest, things won't be the same without you. You know what I mean?
If anybody does.
So long, love. I'll send you a cake.
Hurry up.
I'm coming, Charlotte.
We know it.
nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway
late night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I've been joined by Honorable Knight Justin and Honorable Knight Muddy Mudman Scott Brown. So, we talked about yesterday doing a contest called Electro Man. I'd like to talk some more about that today, if y'all don't mind. Anybody there? Y'all anybody cheating
no.
Tunes at once?
I'm just listening to you. Please have the mic.
Anyway, we did a contest some time back called the Pop Pop Boat, which really didn't go over too well because we really didn't get very many entries, if any at all, did we?
I built mine. I just never, enter it in there. I didn't know I didn't enter it in.
Yeah,
I'm a boy.
Mostly the ones of us who were putting it on built one, but we didn't enter them in for the contest, so really the contest really didn't go nowhere, which was kind of depressing because the idea, the concept of the deal was that, people would spark off some new ideas, and I'm still working on the full-size version. I actually found an easier way to build it for cheaper. And so hopefully I'll have a video out by summertime on the pond out back's probably frozen by now. So
the problem on the other deal is those who were basically sponsoring it just kind of left.
Yeah, well, that didn't help the situation out. Well, I think Electro Man's going to be a fun one, though. Essentially, what we're talking about is putting a contest together called Electro Man. I put a video in there with Ernest how he became Electro Man. He was getting ready to get the electric chair in prison, and he shocked the crud out of him. I ain't going to tell you the story, but you just watch it. He becomes Electro Man.
Yeah, I like it when he spent all his power and he's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Did I tell you have a classic Greek profile?
Yeah, that was good. But anyway, we don't want anybody getting electrocuted or hurting themselves, but essentially what we're talking about is building yourself an exoskeleton or even in built into the clothing or however you want to do it to, like, your arms, they move certain directions, your hands, all the movements of your body you can use to generate electricity, whether it be from gears or whatever, and your body temperature, 98.6 degrees is the average body temperature, using some sort of thermal energy or whatever. any motion that your body makes essentially turning your body into a walking generator, and whoever can generate the most usable energy after it's all said and done with the most unique suit, that kind of stuff.
And use it to do something.
Yeah. You know, if you can power a toaster while running on the treadmill or something with your suit.
It's going to be a little unfair. And I say that because I've been thinking about this for a long time. Even me and Raymond Head have discussed it and stuff, things we were talking about. Basically, one of the ideas we had were to generate through pneumatics. As you step on, as you walk, the pneumatics would sit there and turn a generator. The air would basically turn a slight generator, and it would go into wiring in the suit to keep you warm. So if you're cold, just start walking and warm yourself right back up, which would be pretty cool. I mean, if you're climbing a mountain up there and where it's so cold and stuff like that, you can barely move. Just start moving. And I don't know, they say it gets really cold up there. What is that tall mountain where only very few people have made it to the top?
Everest?
Yeah, that's it.
Anyway, on the suit, it doesn't even matter. You can incorporate already existing technology, such as like those little kids have the shoes. Whenever they walk around, they light up and stuff, you know. It doesn't matter. You can tell it better.
I saw the cops chasing this guy. So he ran behind houses and dark places. He took his brother's shoes. And he was twinkling everywhere, and the cops could barely keep up with him because they was laughing so hard.
Yeah. If you're gonna be stealthy, don't use light up shoes.
Yeah.
But, you know, even on this suit, you know, even though the majority of it needs to be self-generating power, you could also incorporate anything like solar into it, wind, hydro if possible. I don't know. You know, maybe if you're standing out in the rain and whatever. You know, creativity is the whole key. That's you can throw as many accessories as you want on there, as far as light up tennis shoes, solar powered fans on your face, or just as long as it's part of the suit. That's the whole key. What do you think, Matty?
I'm usually got something else going in my head at the same time. Could you see Malcolm Johnson, alias Twinkle Toes?
And he got caught?
Yeah, he got caught. And they were laughing all. They put the cuffs on and took him up, and they were laughing all the way back to the car.
If you're going to try to get away, don't put hydraulic air horns and bright flashy lights on your shoes.
Right. That's kind of like Nam. They tell you, no, you don't need your flashlight. Let your eyes adjust. You put that light on, some sniper will get you. Smoke a cigarette, they'll blow the sniper, take the doggone flame off the end in the direction towards your face. So, yeah, not good. Don't light yourself up at night if you're trying to hide. It doesn't work very good.
Yeah, but for this contest, you can light yourself up with as many lumens as you can possibly get your hands on. And there's all kinds of ideas out there that I'll throw out there just so that you know that there's little already made generators. If you look on the carousel of any microwave oven, there's a little motor that's kind of got gears to it. I can't remember what they call these particular motors, but
that's the turntable motor.
Yeah, the turntable motor itself. And
yep.
I watched a video one time where this guy was turning on it, and he shocked the crud out of himself. And I'm like, no way, that's not even, no way.
Oh, yeah, they're real.
I took one of those things apart just to test it, and I held on to the two wires there, and I cranked that baby around with a pair of vice grips, and I'll tell you what, that thing lit me up, set me in the floor.
Yeah.
So I was a believer. So there is already a generator portion that you could use, like incorporated into like an exoskeleton. The way when you're moving your arm up and down, it's turning that gear, which is generating electricity. Now, of course, keep in mind that's going to probably be AC current that you'll have to then rectify to DC current to charge your power source, whatever you're going to use, a capacitor bank, a backpack, or a battery backpack. What we don't want is somebody just having an all-out 10 car batteries on their back and being able to pump out some serious amperage and that kind of stuff. It needs to be something where you're really generating power. The majority of the power that you got before it actually hits storage is coming from when you're doing something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I had a friend that worked on television sets, and he also was the local area coordinator for ham radio frequencies. And another guy from the club had torqued his jaw. He was out there at TSDI. And he was a maintenance guy out there, and he was operating a backloader and moving some gravel and stuff. And he said, shoot, hey, while you're at it, put some in my truck. And he went in, and it was a new truck. He filled the back end with gravel, busted his shocks and springs, and it looked like a lowrider from the movies. And it was a joke, but it was one that cost him some money. So Melton, he was sitting there working on TV. Come over, I can't think of the guy's name, but he came over to apologize and see if things were still okay between them. And he said, you cost me some money. So I'll help you pay. So I'm sorry. I really shouldn't have done that. I should have just put some in there. He said, yeah, but it's a new truck. You busted my shocks and springs and set the back end on the ground. And then I had to shovel it out just so I could get the truck to go down the road. And he was a little bit torqued. The whole time he was, he had the high voltage lead from the pitcher tube in his hand. And when it was all said and done, I mean, everything, he said, okay, yeah, I'll accept your apology and all that stuff. And reached out and shook his hand. Blew him against the door, and he was over there making sounds like making the sound like Ernest, blah, 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 blah. And Melton just lit up with laughter. he set him on his butt. He said, all forgiven now.
Well, and you can make your suit send lightning bolts out the tips of your fingers like Electro Man there. That would be cool. Anyway, it's essentially...
Could you see being cuffed and just electrocute the guy and stuff?
Well, you could actually make you like an eel-style suit where nobody could actually touch you unless they got the crud shocked out of them. That would be a good self-defense deal there. That would probably be easy, but it'd probably be a whole lot of work.
Muddy shocker.
Anyway, there's all kinds of different little gizmos out there that put out, like the little electric fly zapper. Those got some little circuitry in there, and the little ionizers. They have you can buy those off of eBay, really small, that you can incorporate in there. That would put out either a static discharge or whatever. Lighten up, like I said earlier, you can light up as bright as you want. Light up as many light bulbs as you can, and some way to show how you're using the power that you're generating. Electric drills or skill saws or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So if you plug into your suit, got an outlet somewhere on your suit, you plug in your suit a skill saw and cut through some 2x4s with it and walk around and charge your batteries back up or whatever. There's all kinds of battery technology out there. You just don't want anybody getting hurt or blowing themselves up or electrocuting themselves, so always make sure you practice electrical safety whenever you're doing this if you decide to join in the contest. But because of the the lack of interest in the whole pop boat contest. Like I said, I don't really know what went on with that outside of the promotion thing kind of went awry or something.
I won.
The prizes in that was pretty decent, and the prizes in this was going to be based off of participation, you know, and so the prize pool could build quite substantially if we get enough people to participate in it. What do you think, buddy?
Yeah, I think it'd be all right. Well, anybody who wants to donate to the best electro suit winner, get in contact to us. We'll put it all in the big prize.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to see Ryan Abrams get into this.
Yeah, I would love to see what those two. They're really really brilliant individuals, creative, and Ryan, he's got a flair for art, and I'd love to see what he would come up with for an Electro Man suit. And Terry, I've seen his work as well, and these guys kind of take things to extremes, you know, it's really impressive to watch a lot of their videos. I don't know if you've been over to Abrams Lab on there or Terry Woodruff's YouTube channel, but yeah, check those out. Yeah, I'll have to get links out there if we don't already have them.
Now, you know I got in trouble at 9 years old, FCC, right?
It wouldn't surprise me, Ned.
Well, basically, anything that was broken. I got in trouble one time for trying to fix something that was broken. He told, you don't know what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. My dad laid down some rules on how not to get hurt when working on stuff. Unplug it, discharge it, then you can play with it. And from then on, he brought me everything broken. So I collected up a lot of capacitors. And I learned how to make a high voltage multiplier and a small oscillator to power it and set it to it. And I charge up, I put some oil on my foot on the bottom of my shoe. I got tired of getting my butt whooped. After school, I powered the doggone thing up. Rubber bands around my shoe to tighten the thing up. He says, what you doing, brown clown? And he says, working on something. And I fired that thing up. And he reached out and touched me. I laid him out. It was great. It was all in my shoe. All in my shoe. It was pretty cool. I put some foil on the bottom of my shoe. And it was charging my body up and boil on the bottom of my shoe. And that was the two contacts I was taking from the ground and supplying me with all I needed.
That's cool.
I reached out and slapped this one guy and sent him for a loop.
Anyway, when we do this contest, we'll start posting all the links on... And I can't wait to see what you come up with either, Muddy. You got that, your curved plat that you made for the fly swatter, and that was pretty...
curved plat. Totally green fly elimination.
Yeah.
Fun.
But anyway, we'll start posting links and stuff on for, you know, I'll do a video, and whoever else wants to do a video to help promote the Electro Man contest, and it'll be a 6-month contest, so you'll have the entire 6 months from today all the way up to the end of the 6-month period to actually research and develop your suit. And then at the end of the 6-month period, we'll take and compile a list of all the video entries, and we'll put them on a special page here on ShazizRadio.com. And then we will put a deal up for the people to vote. And so whoever goes in and votes the most on whichever video, that particular one will win. And there ain't going to be no way to vote more than once, so don't even try it. You can't vote 10,000 times for yourself or somebody you like there. You can only vote once. Anyway... That's what we're working on there. Justin,
think it has to go 6 months long, though? You think that's a little long?
Well, I want to make it 6 months because I want people to be able to take their time, find all the resources they need, and do everything, the best that they can. Because out of this contest, just like out of the Pop Boat contest, what I want to see is creativity and advancements in what was just an idea. You know, an Electro Man suit. They're actually, the military is working on something similar to what we're talking about. And, you know, we, the citizens, what are we working on? They're working on exoskeletons, and we're working on the next video game, or the next Dancing with the Stars, or, you know, the next TV show, popular Duck Dynasty, or whatever. That's what we're working on. But we need advancements in the civilian community. We, the people, need our own advancements. We, the people, need to open our minds and start using the brilliance, the artistic value that's in our heads, and start putting things out there. You know, when people talk about all these companies and corporations being filthy, stinking rich because they have all this money for research and development, we, the people, could do the same thing. I mean, we have the opportunity. We just don't want to ask for permission because we're obviously going to get told no. Can I build an Electro-Man suit, Mr. Government? No, you can't. We're working on that. I said, well, okay. Then I go back to watching my Dancing with the Stars and I shut up. You know, it's like that whole know your place, shut your face thing. I don't want no part of that. And so the Electro-Man competition is not only a fun, but it's a brilliant idea to get people to actually start doing something creative. And it may take a little while for somebody's idea to come to fruition, you know, to actually be able to take it from the idea stage actually to the functioning, it works stage, you know. That way they have an opportunity to do this. Not everybody can afford just to rush out and buy a bunch of stuff and slap it together and call it a suit, you know. To some people it would be a little bit more of an advantage if we just did it, like, you know, maybe a week from now or something like that, you know. But for other folks to kind of level out the playing field, it gives them more time to gather parts, save up, do a little bit of work, you know, and that kind of stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okie dokie then.
Yeah. But in the meantime, there's still going to be videos for you to watch, you know. And we'll still keep on putting ideas out there of things you can use. There's all kinds of things out there, like Peltier elements that you could use as, you know, your body's 98.6 degrees. If you go outside and it's cold outside, the side that's on your warm part, as opposed to the side that's on the outside, there's going to be a temperature difference, which is actually going to generate some electricity. How much electricity? Don't know until the research and development is in. But all the things that you're going to learn during this contest are going to be beneficial as far as adding to the alternative energy community, because, you know, these are things that while I'm researching my suit and I'm putting my suit together, then I'll have all these cool ideas that I can share with people that might spark off their idea that they could turn around and build the next alternative energy device. You see where I'm coming from?
Right.
This is what these contests have been all about. I wish the pop, but we'll have to probably do a second one since the first one didn't go over. And when I get the actual big full-size version that I'm personally working on, when I get that completed and proved, then I'll put another one out there, do another one. I built this one, and it works like this. Let's see if you can top it, you know, and do another pop boat contest, and maybe we'll have better promotion on the deal. But this will give them 6 months to tell their friends about it, 6 months to get excited, 6 months to gather up their parts, 6 months to have their videos up and running. At the end of that 6 months, as soon as the six-month line's there, all the videos that are uplisted, those are the ones in the contest. So you can't say that you didn't have enough time to get ready. You can't say that you didn't have enough money because your neighbor is throwing out their microwave as we speak. There's things in that microwave. Your neighbor is throwing out an old computer as we speak. There's an old computer. There's parts inside those things that you can use to make your Electro-Man suit. And you can go down to any thrift store, Salvation Army, and you can buy stuff which is not only you're getting it cheap because it's used stuff, But you're also benefiting somebody else, because that money usually goes to help like veterans or needy people around. You know, when you purchase at a Salvation Army thrift store, it goes around to, the money goes around to help the needy and stuff. So you're doing a plus there. And you can get all kinds of old stuff, you know, old football helmets that you could use for your suit, or football pads, or hockey mask, or whatever. And then incorporate all these things that you know about, solar panels, geared electric motors, and piezoelectrics in your shoe, doggone thermal piles, or whatever, you know, Peltier elements. There's so many different options. And so you take the motion of your body, the heat of your body, and whatever that you're doing at that given time, and generate as much power as you possibly can, and whoever is the best at the end of the whole 6 months deal will be deemed Electro Man. Will the real Electro Man please stand up? Buddy's already standing. He probably hurt himself trying to stand up too fast.
Yeah, throw some argon gas through a jet, you know, where it shoots it out in one direction, and just go ahead and set your Tesla coil deal out there and shoot the electricity all in one direction.
Yep,
it'll be fun.
There's no limit to your creativity if you're interested in trying for this competition. There's no limit to your creativity. Just you just take it as far as you want. Just remember, be safe, and while you're building this thing, document everything. Document how you built each part of it. Make a video of it. Put it out there on YouTube. And you know, if you trust Google and want to get on YouTube and start your own deal, throw some AdSense on that and make a few pennies off of your videos series. As here's how I built my Electro Man suit. You know, start your own YouTube channel or something.
That's a win-win situation. Yeah. There. Doesn't matter if you win or not, you still win.
Yeah, so, and we'll help promote your YouTube channel, and we'll help promote your videos here on Shaziz Radio, and I'm sure that Awake Radio wouldn't mind helping out as well, No Borders. You know, it'll be a fun competition, it'll be a learning experience, and we'll get a lot of research and development in together, you know, because not everybody's going to have the same idea. Some people are going to use hydraulics, some people might use you know, like a pulley system or a gear system, or, you know, like an exoskeleton, or, you know, there's so many potential ideas that could come up out of this one deal. That's what I same thing I said with the whole pop boat contest, was there's an unlimited resource of information out there. There's an unlimited resource of ideas, creativity, and you put it all together, you have a lot of fun doing it. Maybe even make you some money by putting some videos on YouTube or whatever. And at the end of the deal, maybe you're the one who's going to end up being Electro Man, because you got the most creative, powerful suit out there.
Yeah.
I ain't heard from Justin. What do you think, Justin? Justin went to sleep. Did he bail on us?
Yeah, I bet he did. I bet he went to go get him
Sorry.
Yeah, he went to go get you an egg and doggone bacon sandwich, huh?
I'll give everybody an idea of what I'm thinking. Okay, I'll just throw it out there. Use your suit as a static electricity collector.
Yeah, you could do that too. There's like a, build it like a Wimshurst or a Van de Graaff. You know, if you had some vinyl plates inside your pant legs alone, and maybe on the inside you had some wool or whatever, and as you're walking, as that's rubbing back and forth, it's building up a static charge, and find a way to guide that static charge down to something on the tip of your finger, and you can go over and shoot a 12-foot spike across to your brother's ear or whatever. Now, don't go killing your brother with high voltage. That's not going to be cool at all.
Especially if he's your little brother.
Yeah. If it's...
You got to be careful if you're generating electricity between both of your legs, though. Because electricity takes the least resistive path, and it gets closer towards the top, you know what I mean?
Well, you got to remember, insulation is key. You want to insulate any power away from your body. That's it. And you're going to have to do a little bit of research as far as the insulation factors. You know, like rubber's a good insulation, but it won't stop all electricity.
Mm-mm.
So you got to look at the, go check out some of the gloves that they use, the electricians use, and see what type of materials they're using to actually build their gloves so that they don't get shocked. You know, they keep from being grounded to whatever it is they're trying to work with. And you shouldn't work with live power anyway if you're an intelligent electrician, but a lot of them do, believe me.
Oh, there's another video I think I ought to bring to attention. It's in French, but it has the English words down in the bottom. It's pretty funny. It's an animated cartoon. It's called Electroshock. He's dressed like a superhero. It's pretty funny. The guy's working on the power lines and stuff, and basically he gets zapped, and the lines come down because he was distracted by a girl. And basically he fell real slow, and everything around him was moving really slow. And he let go of the power line. The rest of the stuff fell real quick, so he grabbed a hold of the power line. So he created a suit that would basically keep him shocked. And at any time he was shocked, he was time would slow down around him to really slow, so he could run around. And he figured he was going to be a superhero.
Huh.
And the cool thing was, he was going around the town trying to save this, and everything wound up in catastrophe and going crazy. And one day he saw a girl crossing the road, and he didn't have his suit on because he got, after all the mishaps that happened all through there, he tried to save a little girl from getting run over a truck. It's like not time to go get your suit and all that stuff, so he ran across the road, grabbed the little girl, pushed her out of the way, and he got hit by the truck. And then the girl that he was looking at and, you know, distracted by, came down and gave him a kiss. They wound up getting married, and later on it was nag, 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 and he just hit that button, and everything would slow down. You see her lips moving real slow, and the smile come back on his face. It's called Electroshock. Just type in Electroshock on YouTube.
You have to pretty check fun. That out. Sounds like a good movie. Anyway, first off, to stress safety, you know, like you said, the insulation factor, that's going to be a key. You don't want to charge your suit up and, you know, and we could all use our imagination how bad that could go. But,
yeah, I crumple a nurdle or something.
The key of the whole deal is onboard power generation, not something you just go over and plug into the wall and you can walk around for 10 hours, whatever. What we want is using your body motion or the heat of your body or the wind as your body is going through or the sun around you.
Little solar cells.
Yeah. If you got solar panels on there and they're on board and they have nothing to do with plugging your suit into the wall like an electric car and having this time, no, we want from start to finish your suit, you know, as soon as you start jumping and start moving around and it starts generating electricity and charging up your own onboard power supply that in turn runs or does something. You know, there's a lot of battery technology out there, nickel cadmium and what else they got over there? Muddy lithiums?
Lithium batteries, yeah.
Yeah. And not a lot of good capacitor technology that you could use as well. And some of this stuff you could actually recycle. Always remember electrical safety when you're messing around with capacitors. You know, you don't want to, if you charge something up, you don't want to touch the wrong thing. So we don't want nobody getting hurt, but we do want to have a good, fun competition that actually comes out with some really good ideas, some ingenuity. Man, I'll tell you what, you always find out the brilliance of individuals whenever they don't have access to what you have now. Like right now, you can walk over and just flip the lights on. You know, at some point in history, you couldn't do that. They had to figure out ways to light the building or whatever. And some of these they call them third world countries. I just say other portions of the world where they don't have, you know, access to electricity or whatever. They're using solar, you know, refraction and stuff like that. They're using some pretty advanced but low tech as far as creating, you know, like the 2-liter bottles filled with water and put up into the roof, you know, hole in the roof, and then sealed around so the rain can't get in. But you get the sunlight inside without, you know, having to have any electricity. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just so that kind of creativity is what I'm talking about. This is why I like...
Well, it's not about shooting sparks and electricity like that. It's making useful.
Yeah.
Making use of it, or making useful electricity or power.
But if you can shoot sparks out there, and I'm sure Ryan would be one to, Ryan or Terry one would be a really good one to do something like that, to build some sort of Tesla suit that, you know, they got an onboard Tesla coil or Slayer exciter or whatever, shooting sparks out to whatever metal is around them. I just don't want them catching one to the eye like Ryan did one time. He got shocked in the eye one time. I bet that didn't feel very good.
Sir Thorai. Yeah.
Yeah. But either way, safety is the number one priority there. But if you can build you a suit, and there's so many different ideas. Like I said, you know, your body, you know which ways your body moves. Your toes wiggle, your feet bend, and your knees at every joint. If you had an exoskeleton, and every time you squatted down, it would actually turn a little generator at the knees or the hip, and charge up a power pack, and then, you know, moving your arms or whatever, just like walking down a road, you're actually generating electricity. You know, to some extent, there's already nifty little gizmos that do stuff like that, like the shake-up flashlight, you know? And so, there's some other ideas out there for you. The little shoes that are actually working with piezoelectric crystals, those are charging up as a little kid's running around. They're charging up a little capacitor and you know, flexing that piezoelectric crystal every time that shoe hits the ground. Those, have you ever seen those things ever run out of battery? Buddy, you there?
They run out of battery. What thing?
The shoes, the light up. Have you ever seen the batteries run out?
Yeah. Some of them actually, I believe there's a few out there that actually keep themselves charged.
That's what I'm talking about. When you're walking, they're charging up little capacitor circuit in there. And they're staying lit. It don't take much to light those little LEDs.
No, it don't.
But either way, it's like I said, it's something that's an idea you can incorporate into the suit. Looks like we got Yoda on here. Is that the dude from Star Wars?
That's Travis Groves.
Hey, Travis, how's it going? Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Welcome, Sir Travis.
So have you been listening in?
We're talking about building what do we call that?
Man.
A human suit generating electricity. We're starting a contest. Electro-Man competition.
Yeah, so exactly what we're talking about is this. 6 months, starting from today... You have from today till 6 months to build, to research and develop an Electro-Man suit that is a self-generating onboard power station that you can do physical work with the energy that you've generated with your body, such as either thermoelectrics or just moving around or whatever, jumping up and down, riding a bicycle, on a treadmill. But it's all on board. It's a self-contained suit that will generate the electricity as you move. And you can incorporate things that already exist, such as solar, anything that's in the environment, wind. If you can figure out a way to put a little wind turbine like on the top of a beanie, and when the wind's blowing across your helmet, it's putting juice back into the deal. As long as it's on board, then it's good.
Yeah. First prize is a lifetime supply of host snacky crackies with raisin pits and a half five times the fuel of supply of sailboat fuel.
Well, as far as the prize pool, that'll be determined on the participation and the prize pool will grow for the entire 6 months. You know, determining on how many people actually get involved with the deal. If it's only one guy, you might get a digital certificate that says, "Hey, you're Electro Man." You know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll try to spread it worldwide, free advertising. Yeah. So you will be Electro Man from there out.
I'd like to see this contest go viral. I'd like to see some people come up out of here with some YouTube channels that they can make a few pennies off. Like I said, document your deal from start to finish, the materials that you use, the little how-to videos. Look, I'm building the gloves to my Electro Man suit, and they're made out of this particular material. They have these on here to actually conduct electricity without me actually touching it. And so if I take my glove and I put it on my brother's ear, he gets zapped like the bug zapper fly swatter. Like I said, don't kill your brother, though.
Good way to piss your date off, huh?
Yeah. Hey, go and shake hands with your girlfriend. Shake my hand, lady. Oh!
I had a girlfriend, man. I don't know what she was wearing, but she was generating all sorts of stuff. Every time we went to kiss, we had to, she didn't want to kiss very much after the first three or four times.
I bet.
But I tell you what, man. I tell you what, you get a shock to the lips. Teach you to speak in tongues.
So static energy. You can build a suit that would build up static energy, but you just need to figure out how to guide that static energy into some sort of power supply, power pack. That you can use usable work. And so at the end of this whole contest, at the end of the 6 months, all the videos in the list are the ones that are actually in the contest. There'll be put up a place to vote so that you can go and vote for your favorite one, and it'll be ensured that there's no way for anybody to cheat. So with this deal here, even the guys who are putting on the contest will even have an opportunity to put their own suit in there. So let the best man win.
So don't forget how to spell Muddy Muddy Mudman.
Because our vote isn't going to be the one that counts. It's going to be the public's vote when it's all said and done that matters. It could be the worst suit that wins. You know, it could be the best suit that wins. It's what the public thinks has the most powerful suit. So if I build my suit and I can fire up a cordless drill, or not a cordless drill, but a regular house 110 volt drill, power drill, and then and Muddy can come by and he can put a drill and a skill saw on his, and his is more powerful than mine. So,
Electro Man.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun.
But the ideas that could come up out of this could work into some actual products that you could put out there on the market as We the People products, you know, and maybe somebody ought to really seriously consider putting out a We the People group where We the People put some ideas in the pot. We all help to get them patented and copyrighted, and We the People share from all the work and the benefit there by selling the product to each other or people out there in the world. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah. Hey. We'll find more ways to advertise and promote it all the way as, for the full 6 months.
Anything's better than handing your ideas to the man and letting them run with it and letting them copyright it and letting them sell it back to you. You know, if you get sold your own idea and you ain't making a royalty or a profit off of it, that's just a shame. I like
no,
the whole.
That's all right. You build one and you sell it to somebody for a dollar, and you get one person to sign the receipt and two people to witness it, and you stick it in an envelope and you mail it to yourself.
Well,
after that, if somebody gets a patent on what you're doing, it doesn't really matter because you, because of that receipt in that envelope, you have a right to go out to companies and say, I need you to build these, blah, 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 and sell them, and I only want 20%. And you can do it as long as you want. And some guy might have a patent on it, and you take him to court, and then you show that.
Yep.
And date and uploading it as a video gives you a copyright and also the right to sell, because you sold one first before it was even made or patented. That yeah. gives you lifetime ability to do it as you wish with it.
I'm hoping.
Without having to pay somebody else for what do they call it? Not gratuities. Anyway. Now, you don't have to pay for the right to use the other guy has patented. Yeah, royalties. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I posted that video in the chat. And then,
I think I've seen that video.
That's yeah, I think I showed it to you about 3 or 4 years ago when I first started picking on you.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that again. That was a funny little video. Anyway, yeah, that's what we're talking about. Electroman competition, 6 months of research and development. Build your suit from start to finish. Put a video out there. And if you're wise, while you're building it, you will document how you did it all the way through the whole process and make it a series that you could put up there at YouTube if you like, and have the Google AdSense kind of pay you a few pennies for your step-by-step how-to as people watch your videos, and you know, you gain some subscribers on there and actually build you a decent YouTube channel. And there's a lot of people out there, myself included, who are willing to help you, you know, with dressing up your YouTube site, like putting banner, you know, ads on the top, making the YouTube site look cool and naming it whatever you want. But, you know, there's potential out there, a little bit of financial potential to make you some money, have some fun, meet some friends, put some creative ideas out there for the open source community. And help other people research and develop. This is what the whole thing is about, from the Shaziz Mad Science to the Knights of the Round Table. See, we know all the problems that are going on in the world, and we know that there are solutions out there, and a lot of people in this world are waiting around for the supposed representatives of this world to actually do something about it. But they're not. Their track record stinks. They're not doing anything about it. They're not benefiting society in any way. And so it's up to the average Joe. If you want it done, don't ask for permission. Just get up and do it. Use your brain. Use the resources that are available to you. And did we lose our other person that was on here too? Everybody?
Looks like it.
Yeah, must have a bad internet connection or something.
I think he's using a cell phone.
Oh. All right, well, either way, maybe it'll get back on there. But either way, if you're going to wait around for society as the representation department of society, if that's what you want to call them, our senators, congressmen, parliament guys, or whatever, you're going to let them, you're going to wait around for them to make things right in this world, then nothing's going to get accomplished. It's that average Joe getting up and actually doing something, you know, getting out to researching and sharing information with each other like we do here on these networks. And that's what I'm hoping to accomplish by the Electroman competition, and that's what I was hoping to accomplish by the Pop Boat competition. And hopefully we'll get this one out there. And it'll pique the interest of the average Joe, who will jump in there and do the same thing. Because there's a lot of creative people all over this globe, man. And a lot of people got a lot of time on their hands. So if I'm standing next to a junk pile and they say there's an awesome prize here over here on the Electroman competition, all I have to do is build a suit that powers something and put out more power than the next guy, we're going to come up out of this doggone thing with the most powerful self-generating man suit in the history of time. Somebody will take note, and, you know, who knows? Your idea might be the one that sells. But either way, the ideas that come along there should be beneficial, because you can take bits and pieces of that idea, or even, like I said, never putting your eggs in all in one basket. Use all these ideas in conjunction with one another to build something that would even power your house, you know. Give the kids a bunch of cookies, put them in their Electroman suits, and have them charge up the toaster while you're making breakfast. What do you think? I want everybody to jump to the microphone at once. I wouldn't want anybody to hurt themselves.
Oh, you know me. I'm posting this stuff all over the place.
Oh, you're busy doing all that. Well, see, I just like this, the whole dead air thing was driving me crazy. How about we play Electro Man, go refresh our coffee, come back, and I don't know. Some people might just be joining in. They may have missed Electro Man. I put the video out there in the chat room. But I'm going to get over there.
I thought you said dead ear.
Dead air, air, air.
Huh?
See, you got. We're gonna get you a subscription to Miracle Air, man. You're gonna be getting advertisements in the mail for Miracle Air for the next 20 years.
I want the lifetime supply of the host snacky crackies with raisin bits.
Well, I hope you get them, and from your prize pool that you win from making your Electro Man soup. Then you can purchase all the host snacky crackies that you can to your heart's content. But here's another deal on there. You know, you can use the power that you're generating to actually assist you, electrical assist. Like if you're going to be raising your leg and you are generating power as you're raising your leg, and you can pump that energy into a power pack that will in turn, whenever you raise your knee up, it hits a button that actually turns on electric motor that actually assists some hydraulics that raises your leg even higher, faster, whatever. Don't kick yourself in the face or rip your leg off. But you see what I'm talking about. There's so many potential ideas. You could really seriously take this a long ways if you tried hard enough.
Yeah.
All right. Don't knee yourself in the nose with some super hydraulic electric power, hydrogen explosive kung fu kick to the face with your Electro Man suit. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. Now I'm going to play this Electro Man and maybe another tune, and we'll...
Throw that Gene Wilder spot in there. Give my creation life. Yeah.
All right, well, let me see if I can even find that before we even go there. Nah, I just jump on in there. I'll find it. All right, stay tuned, everybody.
All right.
Listen to Knights Roundtable. Peace and love.
Ernest, you might ask. A man with a past rich in both history and tradition. Should we punish this man for crimes he did not commit? No, 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 no.
Get you speed things up. Okay, okay.
Such a man should be set free.
Hit the alarm! Up for it! Coats up! Let's go!
Yeah.
fast.
You better watch out, Reuben. I'll zot you.
You're a dead man, Worrell.
Very well. You ask for it. After all, I am Ernest P. Worrell.
Electro Man.
Did I ever tell you that you have a really classic Greek profile?
Shut up.
Let him go.
Lyle, you talk. That's great.
Have you flipped? Come on. We gotta get rid of this guy before he blows the whole thing.
No, he's different than us.
Shut up and get out of my way.
You better go. Mr. Nash is probably robbing the bank right now.
Nash? Well, come with me.
I don't belong out there. I got a place in here.
Well, I'm gonna miss you, good buddy.
Ernest, things won't be the same without you. You know what I mean?
If anybody does.
So long, Lyle. I'll send you a cake.
Hurry up!
Come on, Shannon!
Come on!
Aw, crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
To catch up on the news, some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoyed the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers are just taking modern objects and stuck on some gears.
It's simply not crickets, it shouldn't be done,
but it's clear how their thoughts had run.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on, I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy.
Heavens to Betsy, I'll end up on regretsy.
Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name. Or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. The sloth of the worst.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Steampunk. steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Love a cup. I would... Oh, God, yes. Oh, that is gorgeous. Yeah. I need a cup with the brown stuff, the shade of an acorn made warm by the same source that I take my cakes from. Using a teapot, a mug or fine china, been hooked up to IV, need constant supplies, and a drip for my urges might verge on perverted, but earthy brown tea, I'm certain it's worth it. With Sherpas who work hers and use a fresh fountain, I've discerned brews from Peruvian mountains. I've slurped up a cup from an elephant's trunk, with a couple of monks who are utterly stunk. I've had bourbons with sultans and creams with queens, and I've bathed in Earl Grey. I'm really that keen, and missionaries dismiss me for my single epiphany. The difference between him and me is a simple sip of British tea. So when times are hard and life is rough, you can stick the kettle on and find me a cup. Now when I say Earl Grey, you say yes please. Earl Grey,
yes please.
Earl Grey,
yes please.
When I say Assam, you say lovely. Assam,
lovely.
Assam,
lovely.
When I say ooh, you say ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh.
Oh, we're gone.
Gorgeous.
Not wrong, yeah. I've been around the world in 80 brews to see the place it takes me to make a brew that tastes like the cream cakes made by angels do. I'm not the same as you, get shaky but aim to swing amazing fluids but don't make it the same. Now using fine leaves picked by pretty maidens in a bag knitted by a seamstress who lives in Copenhagen, brewed up in a pot made of semi-precious metal, let the blessed content settle in my very special kettle.
Now when I say ooh, you say long. Ooh,
long.
Ooh,
long.
When I say herbal, you say no thanks. Herbal,
no thanks.
Herbal,
no thanks.
No. No, I want milk in it. Strong though. I want to see that spoon stand up.
If you're tired of tea, then you're tired of blood.
I'm madder than a hatter and it fires my mic. Liken me to Earl Grey, a Sam or Ginger, Lapsang, Souchon, raise my pinky finger. Keep your sodding coffee in a proper cup of coffee. Bottoms pop me loving teapot to your Ponty rotten coffee shop. Coffee clocks nodding off, lost the plot sodding off. Need some caffeine tannin and a Battenberg to top it off. Cut them off a different cloth, a different lot can take their beer. On 80 cups a day, I haven't slept for 80 years. You could say I'm mad for tea or just say I'm mad. Oh, you can't stay any longer. Oh, actually, I'm quite glad. All the more Battenberg for me. I can barely pour, my hands have got a bit shaky from caffeine. Oh, I love it though. I'd sell my own grandma for a cup. Well, I'd sell your grandma for a cup.
Hee, por favor, the turtle. Always looking to serve the turtle and the knights of the round table.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We're talking about the Electro Man competition and whatever else comes to the table here on the Round Table. If there's any knights out there that want to call in with anything important, you know, you can do so anytime. This is your table, it's your place to speak. The Electro Man competition is going to be a 6 months research and development contest, where you have from now to 6 months from now to literally research, development, gathering up all your parts, putting it all together, building you some how-to videos, and maybe even potentially a few penny-making YouTube channel that will actually benefit you in the long term, get you some subscribers and some pennies for your views or whatever. Maybe even help you into researching and developing more things. one of the things that I'd like to see come up out of this, outside of all the ideas and ingenuity creativity, would be that we potentially have more alternative energy researchers that come to the table, because if this idea sparks off that there's things that they can do with that creativity. Heck, we need more alternative energy researchers out there. If you're waiting around for any representation of the world, any senator or congressman or parliament or whatever they call the guys over there to do anything that you want to see done, then you're kind of wasting your time, because if you look back at their track record, they don't have any problem whatsoever taking your money. What they do have a problem with is getting results. Like, for instance, when my buddy Coltis was over here from Australia and hit a chuck hole over here, my tax dollars put that chuck hole in the road. So his driving experience was a little bit bumpy over here in the good old U.S. of A. But like I said, my tax dollars put that chuck hole there, so you're welcome. And it looks like you're trying to get Raymond in here. That's cool.
Yeah.
And so with that said, if you look out at the conditions of the road over here in the United States, they don't seem very good, but you always seem to see people work on them. So people are making money off the roads, but 9 times out of 10, the road you want to go down is either blocked up with road construction, or it's not done properly, or even a few weeks after they've done it properly, overloaded diesels come down there and just pound holes in the road, and you're back to square one again. So the next week you go down there, they're fixing the other side of the road, and then the week after that they're fixing the opposite side of the road, and so on and so forth. And our tax dollars are going to do that. Most of our tax dollars probably go elsewhere for all kinds of crazy stuff. Who knows, But either way, instead of listening to guys and gals out here in the alternative energy and development and research community to better ways to fix the road, I mean, there are ways that you could fix that road to where heat expansion and cold contraction wouldn't be a factor. It would basically flex with nature, and the road would be fine, it'd be sturdy, and you could drive the heaviest trucks on there without having to worry about damaging them. But most generally, they do kind of like when the Chinese make some cheap stainless steel, which I'm thankful for, because that's really good for collecting radiant energy. But they throw everything in there. They throw everything but the kitchen sink. Well, they probably even threw the kitchen sink in there, too, because a lot of kitchen sinks have got a little bit of stainless in them. They'll grind them up, melt them all in one pot, and make you a nifty little lamp to sit on your desk there. Cheapo stainless steel. Hey, and sell it to you cheap. Now, I'm not knocking the Chinese, because the Chinese can make some really awesome stuff. I mean, these guys are really good at making stuff. But now, it's the companies out there that got the problem. They call up there and they call it planned obsolescence, where they'll build stuff to fail after a certain period of time so they can sell you more. Like, over there in Germany, I know for a fact they got light bulbs over there to last a long, long time. 7 to 10 years is what some of the ones that I've heard. Probably even longer than that. But here in the United States, you buy a light bulb, you put it up there, it could be the very first time that you turn the switch on, you blow that light bulb out. You got to replace it, They don't build them to last. They build them to sell. And as long as it ain't going to last for a month, then every 30 days, you're going to have to be buying you more light bulbs for your house. If you add them all up, that's a few pennies coming out of your pocket.
Yeah, guaranteed 3 months, two days, 4 hours, and 36 seconds.
Yeah. And if your kids flip the lights on and off all the time, then it might be less. So anyway, I'm going to step over here and turn my electric heater down, because that thing's making me hot and it's making a lot of racket. Hold on there. Keep talking, buddy. Well, I can always count on you for some really intellectual conversations whenever I walk away from the microphone.
There it is.
All right. Well, buddy, thank you for that brilliant insight there and that fine addition to, I think I lost about 10 IQ points over that. So I don't know what my IQ was beforehand, but it's 10 less now. It's probably 10 minus by now. But,
that's bad.
Anyway, like I said, the Chinese, they make all kinds of stuff, and they can make it really good. And they're electronics, I'm telling you, man. There's some really cool stuff going on there. So, you know, these guys, if they were allowed to go to their fullest extent with the companies, and the companies would put the right funding towards having their products made properly, you wouldn't have all this waste going on in the world. And this goes with a lot of different companies. You know, it used to be the Made in USA label. If you had a knife or something that was made in USA, that thing was durable. It lasted. It'd go out there to any flea market, and you'll find tools that were made back in the 50s or 60s that will still work today just as well as they did when they came out the store. And then you go out there to modern day and you buy a new tool there, and you first put a little bit of pressure on that thing, it strips out the gears or maybe even breaks off the tip that holds the socket on the ratchet. You know?
I go through Phillips screwdrivers a lot.
Oh, I hate that. You get a screwdriver set and you think you got a bargain.
The tip breaks right off.
Either breaks or twists like butter.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll make a screw out of titanium, and then they'll turn around and make the doggone screwdriver out of aluminum. Crank that sucker one time, and you got a twisted mess. All you got right now is a poker, man. That's it. It ain't worth a darn. But, you know, if you're tired of junk, stop buying junk. Don't go to everything at dollar store and buy stuff that's going to fall apart in a split second. Go to everything at dollar store and find the good stuff made in there. I know there's good stuff.
Either way, you have to work for it. You either have to go to work to make money to buy what you want, or you have to work for it if you want it. Meaning that if you want something, you have to make the tools for it, and then you can make it. So either way, you have to work.
Well, you know how they build these cars in layers these days? Like you take any Honda or Toyota or Nissan or even Chevy or any of the cars these days. Seems like they put the frame down and they built the motor and everything else in layers. So you got to take off half the car in order to get to the part that failed. Well, there's been a couple times that I had to literally create my own tool in order to be able to make that thing work again to get to the part, you know.
Yeah, fabrication, as they call it.
You know,
fabricate your own tool. Yeah, when I was a jeweler, sometimes we had to make our own little screwdrivers and special tools and our awls and the doggone engraving tools and stuff like that. We even had to learn how to temper them and stuff like that and anneal and
yeah,
all out. And yeah, it was my beginning learning in fabrication.
Buddy, you know what a distributor wrench is, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of these individuals using some intelligent and putting that bolt to just your distributor up high enough to where you can get a real wrench in there, then they put it down in a pit, and it's right underneath the doggone distributor. Worst possible place. You can't get a wrench on there straight enough to actually turn that doggone thing. And so you have to have a specialized wrench just to adjust your distributor. Now, was that done ahead of time intentionally in order to sell a specialized wrench? I would say yeah. It's brilliant.
Motorcycles are really bad. You have to either make your tools or go and spend the thousands of dollars and buying them.
Yeah, well, you know what
I mean? I wanted to be a Japanese engineer. I said I could make it harder to work on.
You know what I did? Whenever I didn't have a distributor wrench, or I basically what I did is I got my vise out. I got an old, I think it's, if I remember right, it's either a half inch or 9/16, somewhere around about a wrench. Can't remember what that bolt size is for the distributor. But either way, I took and heated, I clamped it in the vise, heated it up, bent it a little bit at a time until I got that curvature and bent it back in the other direction until I got it to where I could use it as a wrench again. and set it right down in there. I had my own homemade distributor wrench. I've even actually had to saw the handle off of ratchets in order to be able to, you know, like when you're underneath there working on that that cactus with all the different brackets going in every direction, and you need to get to a certain bolt without taking out the entire motor, then you got to be able to reach up inside there, but you don't have enough room to get a full-size ratchet in there, and you also don't have enough room to get an extension, and even an extension with a little swivel on there won't go up in there. So now you got to have a little ratchet that'll fit right up in there. You just got just enough strength in your hand to turn that one bolt to get that doggone part up out of there.
Heck, Beto Carrera and I took a piece of pipe. It was a 1-inch ID pipe. And we stuck a socket up in the end for, you know, because when I'm building the dual permanent magnet rotor axial flux wind turbines, they got them studs that sit out a ways. You got to be able to tighten those wrenches up, those nuts up that are down inside the hub, and then you got your other, rotor, which is kind of concave. You know, kind of looks like them old barbershop quartet hats in their shape, you know, and you can't get a wrench in there to turn it. And you can't put a socket because you can't find a deep enough well socket, you know. You have needed like a two foot doggone deep well. They just don't make them. So we took a socket and welded it up inside the end of that piece of pipe. And we took the other piece of the socket and welded it up in the end, and then we also drilled a hole and put a bar that slides through it, and bratted the ends of that.
I see.
Yeah, man, that thing worked real great.
That's brilliant. Necessity is the mother of invention, and you could take that idea that you had to use right there, and you could market that doggone idea. You know, you could actually sell these ideas out there, you know, We the People style, you know. Go out there and make your fortune that way. You could use that money to fund your labs or help other people with research. And this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about that I'd like to see come out of these contests that we keep trying to do. I am going to do another pop boat contest because I still believe in the idea.
Because you didn't get to enter your pop boat. That's what that's about.
Yeah, that's it. But this one, I'm designing this particular contest where even I got an opportunity to win. So it's it's going to be a situation to where the public's going to vote, and it ain't going to be no chance of somebody being able to vote 10,000 times. You only get one chance to vote, and your IP address is gone from there. You can't vote again. And you can't go to some other computer and vote, you know, under some other assumed name, if we could figure a way to stop that one. I'm sitting here telling people ideas on how to cheat. Doggone it.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Change your IP address for every 5 minutes and vote again.
Yeah, don't change your dog. Don't cheat, man. Ain't cool. We're trying to get ideas out here, and we want the true winner to be the winner. We want Electro Man to be Electro Man. We don't want... Oh, Mr. I can light up two LEDs sticking my tongue out. We don't want him. He's not...
What are we going to do? Make sure they put it out on a YouTube video and whichever gets the most votes? Because YouTube keeps you from voting twice.
There you go. There's an idea. We could actually...
Your video get the most thumbs up.
We could have two forms of voting. One being the YouTube over there, the YouTube channel itself that they set up, and one being over here... For those that can't actually set up a YouTube channel, but if you got a YouTube channel and you got the voting over here, all votes count from YouTube and from over here. So, you know, you can double your chances if you make a YouTube channel. I sound like I'm trying to root for YouTube, but I do like YouTube. I mean, I've been on YouTube for quite some time.
I was on YouTube long before Google Plus got it.
Yeah, me too. Way back in the day where friends were friends and you had access to your friends, you could talk to them just like in any regular chat room on a daily basis and say hi and see how they were doing. And then YouTube decided to change that, and then Google came in and changed even more. You know, it's in some ways Google made YouTube better, in some ways Google destroyed the family community portion of YouTube.
Well, they just wanted to avoid a lot of the drama that was taking place
They wanted to make another Facebook out of it.
Yeah, but the whole drama that was taking place, that was part of the appeal of the old YouTube.
Yeah.
You know? There were all kinds of things going on, troll wars, and it was exciting, well,
That's like 4chan.
Yeah, but we're talking about not, you know, hacking or giving viruses or trash on there. You know, that's what I'm saying. Anyway, they cleaned it up, but.
Well, funny thing, just like your bent wrench, make sure it fits the nut before you bend your wrench.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we stuck a socket in the end, and we hammered it in there, and basically had to hammer it out because we had the wrong socket. We had one that fit in there a little loose. We said, yeah, this one will fit. Let's see how it works. And we tapped her in, and then, we tap it back out. And we put a slightly smaller one. It fit in there pretty good. It had a little slack. We put one tack to it. Then we stuck it on the nut on the awl thread, and then straightened it out with the rest of the awl thread, and got that one tack bent just right. Finished tacking it around there, welded it in. Worked real good.
Yeah. Well, like I said, necessity is the mother of invention. And so you guys could have, if you thought about it back in them days, you could have patented that idea, marketed it, you know, and got it out there, or at least made your own home brew kind of, I'll build it for you and you pay me a few bucks for my effort kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way that you could actually make a few dollars off the deal and actually win a prize and the whole title of being the Willerudal Electro Man. Please stand up, you know. And so we'll see who can build the most powerful self-contained generating suit in the history of time.
Willerudal Electro Man, please stand up.
We're going to have to get you to do the promo for that because you got that voice like Ernest did whenever he said... I am Electro Man.
Yeah, we could use that electrical safety promo ears to advertise with that.
Yeah, we'll combine that and your promo together and make a promo for Electro Man. But what I want to see out of it is people, you know, this. What I've been saying all along, it's to get your mind thinking. You know, I put all kinds of videos out there, and these videos are intended to open your mind and get your mind to doing what it's capable of doing. I mean, you have so much creativity within you that it's just mind-boggling. And if that creativity was used productively towards making this world a better place and putting solutions out there for problems that we have in this world, you know, it wouldn't be no time at all. We could make short order of straightening this world out if we could get the majority of people involved in, you know, look at the folks out there that they start off, you know, they make some really good cookies or something like that. And then they take that cookie that they designed and they work it into a business, you know, become entrepreneurs and actually become successful business owners. And then later on down the line, you know, they maybe go big time and buy factories or whatever, big cookies.
Yeah, you ought to hear the story of Famous Amos. You know Famous Amos cookies?
Uh-uh.
Really? You've never had a Famous Amos cookie?
Well, he may be famous, but I haven't heard of him, but there's a lot of famous people.
Famous Amos decided he wanted to make cookies. So what he did, he started making cookies, and he started just going to store to store, or, you know, little coffee shops and stuff like that, and handing his cookies out and giving them on the counter and stuff like that. Then he started putting like 25 cents for a package of two cookies, and then he stopped doing that. And what he did, he saved up money from his regular job and decided he'd rent a shop downtown New York, and he started baking cookies, and he gave them away for Famous Amos cookies. He gave them away for a full year. And then the people were coming by for the cookies, and they said, well, we'll give you this much for it. We'll give you this much. And companies decided to add them and everything, and put in orders, and he started making his Famous Amos cookies and went into business, and he went big real fast.
Well, there you go, man. You know, back during the whole Depression, there was a lot of people that figured out how to earn a living during the Depression, even as bad as things were, you know, people still survived. And it sparked up a lot of businesses that are probably still standing today. And that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. You know, why wait for a major collapse? Just start thinking ahead of time. Start working on ideas. And contests like this spark off ideas and potentially give you, you know, a put in the door towards a business or financial independence or something like that. And, you know, while I'm not a big fan of the whole money system, if you got some money and you can take care of yourself and buy the things that you need to survive, you know, then that's a benefit. It's a plus to society. You're now in a position where you're stronger to help other individuals who aren't as strong. And so there's so many pluses that could come up out of it. We could talk all day long about all the positives that could come up out of something as simple as a competition where you get people together to have fun and use their ideas and, you know, open source their ideas with each other and, you know, maybe potentially get them some sort of marketable product out of it that they can themselves make money off of. And if you do the YouTube idea and get you a YouTube channel, if you think about it, if you only got one YouTube video on YouTube and everybody keeps coming back and watching that, as long as people keep coming back and watching that and it's setting up there for years, it's going to be throwing pennies in the pot, you know. It's like a piggy bank. It's going to keep filling that piggy bank up for years every time somebody comes and watches that video. So it's an investment that you can't lose. You got the time invested in putting the video together, the time and money or whatever invested in your materials that you did the project with. But after that, it's all, you know, pennies in the bank. So if you got a couple hundred videos up on your YouTube channel, you're going to have pennies in the bank from every single one of them. The more videos you got up there, the more information that you got that people need and want to come check out, you know, the more pennies are going to be in your bank. There's guys out there, believe it or not, who are making a full-time living off of YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my pennies in the bank got up to about $750 a month at one time.
Yeah, see, that's not bad. You put the videos out there, and they're still today making pennies. You know,
I was getting 7,500 views a day.
So there's an option for you guys out there. There's a solution. You know, if you're going to be showing people how to knit your favorite sweater or teaching somebody some skill or trade that you got, why not make a few pennies? Add to the vast knowledge of the sum of all the world's knowledge. And make a few pennies off of the idea. You know, there's nothing wrong with making a little bit of money while you're trying to do something good for the world. You're actually trying to make yourself to be in a position where you're stronger to be able to help, to be able to donate to other causes or whatever. And so using this idea and that idea and my ideas and Muddy's ideas and Justin's ideas and Raymond's and everyone else out there, build some really awesome websites, build some really awesome YouTube channels, build some really awesome networks and friends and family from all over the globe, and together we step by step we build the parts to the new world. You know, not a new world as in a new world order under one government, a new world idea under we the people, you know, for we the people.
Redneck World Order.
Yeah. Something like that. Heck, look at my redneck hot tub, man. I got so many views on that doggone thing. You know, I'm surprised anybody would watch it.
The invention of a TV network.
Yeah. So...
You never did air that, did they?
No, they haven't aired that yet. I think it had something to do with my mad science lab. I was saying
I think it had something to do with they were trying to make fun of people and they couldn't make fun of what you were doing.
Oh, well, that's probably it. They probably wanted to make me look stupid, but I looked actually kind of brilliant because not only did I show them that I took some junk and recycled it into a useful product, but I had a lab that was doing some amazing wireless energy transfers that they got to see firsthand. And so, you know, maybe somebody just didn't want the fact that they couldn't make me look stupid. And here it is, what this guy might give other people ideas to try this too, you know.
Yeah, one guy took a regular bath, oversized bathtub, and he welded on some more stuff to the outside of it and made it like a stove. So he put the wood in one side, and the flue came out the other side, so the heat would have to travel all the way around. And he did that, and they showed the video of him and his wife, man. I mean, they both acted like bikers, and he had that beard and all that. He'd get in the doggone thing, and he's looking around, and there's snow everywhere, and they're in there all nice and toasty and flirting with each other. It was pretty cool.
That's brilliant. What?
Yes.
But listen to this. You could expand on that idea to make yourself a redneck hot tub that you could actually sit there and you could have a combination barbecue grill slash water heater redneck hot tub, whatever. You know, you could add so many different things into this one idea together that, oh man, it's just...
And if you put too much wood in it, all you'd have to do is throw a little butter and salt and seasoning in there and get in the tub.
Yeah. Saute yourself.
That's right.
Yeah. Use those ways that you could disperse the heat if it got too hot. You know, you could vent that.
Yeah, just
that
take heat. Some of that snow and bring it in.
Yeah.
Well, that was a cool video.
Where you don't actually have the firebox connected directly to the actual tub itself. So you're not going to get the fire heat. You're going to get the air heat that's going to be circulated out that's actually going to heat the water via a forced fan system or something like that. That when it gets to a certain temperature, that little flap closes and sends the heat out into the air somewhere.
Wow, look, it's boiling. No, that wasn't boiling.
Yeah. Once again, with your redneck ideas, safety's first. We don't want nobody boiling themselves or electrocuting themselves. All we want is creativity, man. People figuring out ways to use things that you're already going to be doing anyway. And if your Electro Man suit will sit there and watch Dancing with the Stars and generate thermal heat, enough electricity to outpower Muddy's cordless wire or skill saw and drill.
Yeah, that was all solar powered.
Yeah,
them old batteries, they get bad, and the old drill I got down there at the shop that I use for just about everything, I just hook it off to the railroad NiCad batteries because I run the solar panels off that. Then I run it into the other bank through the meter, and so I could use that power all I want. Matter of fact, I had electricity over to several other storage units where people went down there to work so they'd have light and not have to light candles and burn me out. So they could use that power all they wanted. That went through the main diode before it went into the other batteries. So basically my power supply was always up. And it was for naught because nobody ever ran out of electricity. Here I had like three different units having lights on at night, 12-volt fluorescent lights. And they'd use them, and I'd ask them, did the bulbs ever get dim or down? They go, no. And when I tested, those batteries were always still feeding my main batteries. Because electricity wouldn't go from my batteries to theirs. They could use as much as they wanted.
That was a lot of fun.
Did who mumble again?
Did we lose Justin?
It looks like it. Let me go with Justin back in here.
All right, well, anyway.
She can't get away from us that easy.
You know, there are batteries out there that actually get hot when you use them, which is kind of a bad side effect, and some of them can actually, catch fire. But
some of the lithiums that they put in, I think it was a Dell laptop that they had, that the lithium batteries, basically they had the voltage regulator set too high, and once they get hot, then they shorten their fuse, and the suckers short out all the way across. They start fires. As soon as you felt it get hot, it's like, get away from it, put it in a safe spot.
Yeah.
And if you put water to it, that'd make it go off even faster, because lithium loves water.
Yeah.
So yeah, that things were sparking. They had a few incidences on planes. Because that lithium wants to burn through the floor, you know.
Yeah. Well, what I was talking about potentially using that flaw, if you had a battery and it was getting warm, even warm while it was running, and you could put a Peltier element on the other side of that battery while you're using that battery to run whatever it is you're using. You're extracting some of that heat energy. And
you have to put more juice back into the battery to make it warm up more.
Yeah. So either you can speed up the explosion or, you know, use it for keeping that battery maintained, because it's its own waste byproduct, which is the heat, would cause the Peltier element to generate electricity as long as there was a temperature difference on the opposite side. You know?
Yep. The Peltier batteries ain't nothing to shake a stick at. The Stirling engines. I was thinking about putting a Stirling engine on my wood stove flue to run the lights at night and just shut it all off. As long as you got wood in there, if the lights start getting dim, it's time to throw another log in the fire.
Well, you know, you talk about the Stirling engine. There's also that they have Stirling engines that work off of body heat. Now, you could redesign that Stirling engine to a different design to where maybe it was thinner, like maybe one of those Walkmans that you used to carry around that you listen to your music on.
Low temperature diaphragms, yep.
Yeah, instead of having the having like a round circle going up one direction, you have the actual displacer in there going up a like a square deal up the side there, and use the body heat to actually raise a piston up and down and generate electricity at the same time. Now, will it be a massive amount? I don't know. It depends on your research. But what it will be is some electricity.
They got the Stirling engine fans that you put on top of your wood stove. And the low temperature differentials are LTD Stirling engines. They'll run off the heat of the power supply on your laptop or your coffee cup. And they put a fan on those. And yeah, they're pretty cool. I was thinking about taking the sunny side of my roof, figuring the inside of the roof was going to be a lot cooler, and go ahead and paint the outside black. The thing about the low temperature differential Stirling engines are is they're flatter, so you're working with less air, but you got more surface area, so it heats the air faster and cools it faster.
Well, most of the heat lost out of your body is through your top of your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you had
put that on in the cold and never run out of juice, right?
If you had a Stirling engine on the top of your head inside your helmet, a small size Stirling engine, low temperature differential, and you could actually use the heat coming off the top of your head to circulate cool electricity through one side and have a fan blowing across your face across the other side, you'd cool your face down, and when the temperature of your head dropped down, then that fan would shut itself off. You'd be your own thermostat.
Microsoft actually made a Stirling engine cooler for your processor.
See? There
yeah,
you go.
It uses Freon for the it was an acoustic Stirling engine, no moving parts, and it would basically when it got hot, it would start to vibrate, and the outside would get hot. It would take the heat from the chip and put it to the outside, and then come back in. It all has to do with volume and pressure and everything when it starts vibrating. So it's all done by acoustics.
Yeah.
And basically, I'm pretty sure you probably got one in your house.
Cool. Well, see, you're talking about vibration and acoustics, and we're talking about Stirling engines, and we're talking about Peltier elements, we're talking about... You could talk about piezoelectrics. You could actually have, while you're talking in your helmet, communicating with the people, you could have that vibrating a piezoelectric speaker or something and generating a little bit more juice. Every little bit that you're throwing into that bucket there, you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
There's sound waves coming around. There's vibrations while you're walking down the doggone road, for peace sake. Your noise... cars driving by backfiring or whatever, there's all kinds of things happening in nature and things you're doing. So if you incorporate all those ideas into your suit, you can get that thing to generate in all different directions.
Yeah, I want to put a shout out there to Stephen Gibbon there. Thank you very much. I might make me a set of those.
Yeah, I'd like to see them. Do a YouTube video on there.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I'll come up there while you got those on your head, and I'll say, "Yo, mate!"
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I think this is a good deal, man. The Pop-Pop Boat Contest, that video is still up. You guys can go check that out. There's some ideas in there. We'll take and revive that contest when we get this one going as well. And just keep contests coming, you know. Keep it interesting for folks to be able to, you know, come up with ideas and creative solutions. And get up here in these chat rooms on Wake Radio and No Borders and all these different networks out here, Shaziz Radio, and communicate with each other. Share your ideas. Share links to things you found, you know, different chemistry that generate electricity and different medicines. You know, there's a lot of vast knowledge out there in a lot of different communities. The Indian communities, they've had, before all this modern day society, they were figuring out ways to heal the sick and to feed people and keep warm and all that.
And all that stuff. Anything you work on. I mean, gosh, when I was I think it was 6th or 7th grade, and we had the science fair. And man, those are cool places. If you know of a science fair going on, you need to go check it out.
Yeah, and while you go check it out, take a camera with you. Share that.
I was a kid, basically, I wanted to learn how the three-way switch works, so I hooked it all up, looked it up. I mean, it was very little research. I didn't get very many points, but because I did one, I got an A. They said anybody puts a project in there gets an A, and it gets added to your grade. I didn't care about the grade. I never did care about grades when I was a kid. I was dyslexic and attention deficit disorder and all that kind of crazy stuff. But I was into fixing all sorts of stuff when I was young, getting in trouble by the FCC. Yeah, that was fun. But I never understood how a three-way switch worked. It always made me wonder. So I hooked one up. I went there. And some kid hooked up a little small, what do you call it, op amplifier to a microphone, and put the where you can put your headphones on, and he had a parabolic dish. It was probably about 2 foot in diameter, and it was clear, so you could see through it. And how he got that parabolic shape, I don't know. He probably borrowed something, but the cool thing was the microphone was in the focal point, but on the other side of the microphone were a bunch of glass tubes that were different lengths and sealed at the other end. And it looked like some kind of crazy ray gun. But the parabolic dish would bounce the waves and go into those tubes, so it'd pick up all these different frequencies that resonant and throw it back at the microphone. He got, there were people at the science fair. He won the science fair. And there are people at the science fair ready to take that as an invention, and he sold it before he got out. So it was a kid with a lot of money. And there was another one there. The guy had a piece of pipe, probably about, I think it was like about 3 inches in diameter. And at both ends, he had these speakers, and they focused down like funnels, okay? And in the top of this tube were a bunch of orifices drilled out evenly. And he was playing Hawaiian music, and he had propane going into it. And off the top of those, the tubes, the vibrations would come in, and it'd make the fire dance to the Hawaiian music. And you see all, it was kind of like looking at your graphic equalizer in digital.
Cool.
Pretty cool. He could only run it so many times because it kept getting hot in there.
Well, like I said, those kind of ideas right there is what we're talking about. You know, I'd like to see a digital science fair. And tell people out there, if you want a page here on YouTube to do something like a project like that, a digital site, not YouTube, but on Shaziz Radio, you contact me up, and I'll set you up a page that you can, you know, start doing you some deal on there. I'm working on a virtual labs thing that's kind of taking forever and a day to try to get that situated, but I had a few ideas how to speed that process up on a temporary basis at least, so we can get some virtual labs going on. But I'd like to see a digital science fair where, you know, where people didn't have to worry about traveling over to, you know, some place and spend a lot of money to get there. They could actually do it from their own home and their own Skype and whatever. That way we can share ideas like that. That's what the whole Virtual Labs idea was about. But
I know Stephen Gibbons is going to get on this Electro Man suit.
Yeah. The more the merrier. And that's the whole thing. The whole prize pool will be based on participation. We had a big prize pool for the Pop-Pop boat, but no entries, so I don't know what happened there. It just kind of went awry. But Ann gave up on it. We'll do it again. And I'm going to wait till
the people giving the prizes left before then.
Yeah.
I was saying, you want to take this one out too long, or let's make it a little quicker?
No, I want to give people opportunity to seriously do some real research and seriously do some really, really nice construction so they don't just have to slap it together, and to study up safety concerns so that they don't hurt themselves, and to give them the opportunity to match the big boys who already have the labs and the toys and the tools to do so. You know, they can, you know, find people to help them build certain parts of it, and then by the time when it's all said and done, we have some really cool suits, man. Some really cool functioning, high-powered suits that, you know, who knows? I was talking about the other day about using invisible light to, light is heat, heat is light, vice versa, but you could imagine using a system that would use things like the Peltier element and different things that pick up the infrared light spectrum or the invisible light spectrums that would, even in the dark, produce energy. And you could have it set up to where you walk out in the colder it gets, the warmer the suit gets, you know? You got a built-in temperature thing going on.
Yeah, that 30-second delay between when we speak and it actually gets out there on the air, Stephen Gibbons answered. He said, already working on their ideas, bro.
Cool.
Yeah, he popped in a video, and it looks like make a static electricity generator.
Cool.
So,
I'm interested to seeing that one. And so...
Three cheers for Stephen Gibbons. Yay.
With that said, hip hip hooray. With that said, there's so many different ideas, so many different potentials, but ideas are just ideas unless you act on them. Then they actually become actual products, actual generators, actual things that you can use. And this is not something you can just, once you get it done, it might spark off more creativity for other ideas. And that's what it's all about, getting brains to doing the work, you know.
Yeah, you get brains by studying.
Yeah.
It's out there for you.
That's why I say the 6 months is the best go. You know, the average Joe has an opportunity. If they're not educated in certain things, they got time to learn it real quick, put a product together, and make a Electro Man suit, and may the best man or woman win. That's what I'm saying.
Unless you're Michelle Obama, may the best other win.
Well, maybe she can make one that will put everybody rice cakes out real quick. You know, I don't want to eat rice cakes. They ain't got no flavor. They're terrible. Rice cakes stink. I don't even know why they even make them. There's no nutritional value to a rice cake, is there?
Yeah, there's not much. There's only a little bit of carbs to them, and that's about it. They basically turn to sugar. They have a glucose rate that say you can put a spoon of sugar in your mouth, and they measure how fast it turns to glucose in your body. Rice actually beats it.
Yeah, but I can eat styrofoam and get a little bit more flavor than that out of that, man. Sometimes you like to enjoy what you eat. I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's no nutritional value in that rice except for carbs.
Yeah.
I learned that from my sensei.
And then people are going to turn around and put like peanut butter or Spam or whatever on top of it, and it takes away from the whole I'm dieting eating rice cakes. I'm living off of rice cakes and distilled water. And I'm healthy. Really?
You better be taking your vitamins.
Yeah,
water siphons because it doesn't have any vitamins in it. It takes the vitamins from your body.
Yeah, where's your minerals coming from? You better think about that before you go on that rice cake and distilled water diet. That's what basic science will get you, man. The basic science will get you the understanding of how you can take something that would normally be a lemon and turn it into a battery, or even turn it into lemonade. So you use basic science to understand that citric acid in there and two dissimilar metals would a penny and a nickel would make a battery. And you also know that you could actually take that doggone same lemon, maybe throw a little bit of sugar with it and some water, and make you some lemonade.
Yeah, but don't make your lemonade out after you've run the electricity through.
Oh yeah, don't recycle your battery into lemonade. You're not going to like that.
No, you won't like that. It starts putting them heavy metals into your body, and the acid gets more potent.
Well, which is another reason why to know basic science. If you're going to make the lemonade, make it before you use the battery. Otherwise, once you use it as a battery, it's toast. You don't want to try to recycle it. So
now, it's okay to dip your piece of paper towel in the lemonade and lay it on a penny, and then go ahead and put you a galvanized piece of metal on top. That's okay.
Yeah.
You just don't lick your coins off when you're done.
Tell you what, make your lemonade first, and then turn one of those glasses of lemonade into a battery.
Oh, you don't need that much. Just dip a piece of paper towel enough to cover up the whole coin, then throw your other on top. You can make a lot of batteries with them, or a stack.
Then make you a multi-celled battery with a glass of lemonade. I'm just trying to throw the ideas out there on the table, man. It's brilliant.
I'm picking on you again. I'm sorry.
It's brilliant. Seriously, you know, we're talking about taking little simple ideas, expanding on them to the extreme. I mean, there's no limitation to the brilliance. You know, you showed me your fly exterminator deal. What would you call that? Your Chris Flat?
Yeah, totally green, non-chemical, non-environment hazardous fly elimination device. Yeah.
Yeah, and so there was a lot of...
You know, I wrote that whole spiel out there because I saw that thing on your site and I thought it was you, and I was trying to make you laugh, and I got their attention. And they thought I actually had the thing built, and I said, well, give me a couple days and I'll go ahead and build one. So I did. And that was pretty funny. I mean, for those that don't know what the Kurtz Flat is, it was the motor and the gear reduction motor that comes out of the back of your ice maker on your refrigerator. And it was supposed to be powered by a solar panel. And that way, you know, you're not you could take it with you to a picnic. So the flies come around, and basically this gear reduction motor put an arm on it that would turn halfway and then basically slip. And I had it set out so far, and I put a piece of string on the end with a fishing tackle swivel, and I brought that over to where I had the full bottom baseboard was probably about a foot and a half to 2 foot long. I took a garage door hinge and I mounted another piece of wood up on top of it so it would come down and lay down flat, and I put a screw in the side and put the string to it and up to that actuator. So the that motor would turn around and take almost a minute to bring it up in the air, and you'd put down what I was trying to make it funny for Shaziz, so I basically told him mustard has a lot of flavor and it really attracts a lot of flies. And then you put a piece of bologna there and the gel from a vitamin E caplet. And so you're sitting there, you know, having your picnic, and this thing starts raising up, and here comes the fly. They smell the mustard from a good distance. They come down there and they start licking on that, and then they get to the bologna. Cool. Then the females come and they smell it, and then they start eating the bologna. So while they're getting